Hello, and welcome to the Weight of Glory podcast. This is your host, Clayton Emmer. The main idea of this podcast is to explore some of the writings of C.S. Lewis. Today, in honor of the season of Lent, I'm posting a special episode on the Stations of the Cross. Sometimes referred to as the Way of the Cross or Via Crucis, the Stations of the Cross is an ancient devotion in Christianity. The practice of meditating on the last hours of the life of Jesus initially took place only in Jerusalem, along the actual path Jesus trod through the city. This path is called the Sorrowful Way, or Via Dolorosa. Even today, Christians walk this path, meditating on the Passion of Jesus the Christ. The place of each meditation is called a station, hence the name Stations of the Cross. Today, in most Catholic churches, you will find artwork depicting each of the 14 stations, and during Lent, Catholics gather at church to meditate on the stations together. Among the central themes is the atonement won for us by the suffering, death, and resurrection of Christ. Writers, visual artists, and musicians have depicted these stations in a multitude of ways over the centuries. While C.S. Lewis did not compose meditations for the Stations of the Cross, he did meditate on Christ's atonement and our participation in it in his book, The Four Loves. An essay by Adam Johnson illuminates the connection this way. What does Christ's atonement have to do with love? It is an act of love, wherein the beloved spurns the lover. But beyond this, on the other side of the spurning, sacrifice, and death, lies the power of the resurrection, the power of an unquenchable charity, so jealous for his beloved that he will transform her, nurturing and perfecting every affection, every friendship, every element of eros within her, by imparting to her a share in his own divine charity. For only as such can she endure. Quoting the Four Loves, only those into which love himself has entered will ascend to love himself. And these can be raised with him only if they have, in some degree and fashion, shared his death. If the natural element in them has submitted year after year, or in some sudden agony, to transmutation. What follows is a Stations of the Cross text I wrote in 2004, reflecting on the images Mel Gibson provided in his movie The Passion of the Christ. Each meditation also includes a quote from one of my favorite spiritual writers. In the show notes, you'll find links to learn more about the Stations of the Cross, sources for the quotes used in the meditations, and a link to learn more about the album Via Crucis by Dick Lemaire. Many thanks to Lemaire for granting me the rights to include his music in this episode. Stations of the Cross. We follow Jesus along the way of the cross, learning from him who is meek and humble of heart. After 3 years of teaching, his final hours were one incarnate lesson, a demonstration rather than a lecture. Now he makes his way among us every day. May we experience the grace of an encounter with him. Thank you. The first station. Jesus is condemned to death. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. Jesus is brought into the praetorium. Justice is put on trial. Truth is called a liar. Love is declared hateful. All of this we do to avoid being called out of the shadow of sin. Yet somehow, in the midst of our very refusal to receive him, he discovers a pathway into our hearts, and he determines to follow that path, knowing that it will cost him everything. A quote from Father Wilfred Stinnison: "There is a deeply rooted tendency in human beings to look at others and their failings. In doing this, we miss what is most essential, to accept and assent to God's will in our lives, a will that is largely formed by the opposition of others to God's will. We need only look at Jesus. It was not the Father's will that his Son be killed, nor did he inspire anyone to kill him. He did will, however, that Jesus would freely be the sacrifice for the sins of mankind. He willed that Jesus would let himself be put to death. Jesus did not say, as we often hear today, 'But this is not God's will. This cannot be God's will.' He said, 'Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. Remove this chalice from me, yet not what I will, but what you will.' For every one of us, there is a chalice that the Father offers us to drink. We have difficulty recognizing it as coming from him, since a great deal of its contents comes from other people. Nevertheless, it is the Father who asks us to drink the bitter cup. It was so for Jesus, and it is the same for us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen." The second station. Jesus receives his cross. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. The beam placed across his shoulders presses down on him with unnatural weight. He receives the burden without even a moment of self-pity. Love is self-forgetful. His eyes show resolve. He is grateful for the chance to express fully what is in his heart. A quote from St. José María Escrivá: "The more you belong to Christ, the more grace you will obtain to be effective in this world and to be happy in eternity. but you must make up your mind to follow the way of self-surrender. The cross on your shoulders, with a smile on your lips, and a light in your soul. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. The third station. Jesus falls under the weight of the cross the first time. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. Jesus stumbles on the uneven ground of the human heart. Some wave palms before him, and others lash him with whips. The human heart can be weak and uncertain. But Jesus loves all people with the heart of his Father and finds the courage to rise again. Unsteady ground will not put an end to his pilgrimage. A quote from St. Ambrose of Milan. What then is man if you do not visit him? Remember, Lord, that you have made me as one who is weak, that you formed me from dust. How can I stand if you do not constantly look upon me to strengthen this clay, so that my strength may proceed from your face? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. The fourth station. Jesus meets his mother. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. From the midst of a sea of angry, fearful faces, the mother appears, her eyes tender, vulnerable, and heartbroken. I'm here, she says. Nothing more is needed. What else could we ask of a mother's heart? Jesus meets one heart in solidarity with his own, and it is enough. He studies her face. This face I will carry with me all the way to Golgotha. Her loving face is the certain sign of my victory, the sure evidence that truly I will make all things new, that I will take stony hearts and make them hearts of flesh. In her face, I see this promise, the redemption of humanity. A quote from Joseph Cardinal Ratzinger. Love means being dependent on something that perhaps can be taken away from me, and it therefore introduces a huge risk of suffering into my life. Hence the express or tacit refusal. Before having constantly to bear this risk, before seeing my self-determination limited, before coming to depend on something I can't control, so that I can suddenly plunge into nothingness, I would rather not have love. Whereas the decision that comes from Christ is another. Yes to love, for it alone, precisely with the risk of suffering and the risk of losing oneself, brings man to himself and makes him what he should be. I think that that is really the true drama of history. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. The fifth station, Simon of Cyrene, helps Jesus to carry the cross. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. Curiosity leads Simon of Cyrene to peer through the crowd, hoping for a glance at the spectacle. What he does see fills him with revulsion. I have nothing to do with this. And yet suddenly, a Roman soldier pulls him right into the center of this moment, no longer a spectator, but an intimate participant in the way of the cross. And as he bears the cross with Jesus, he comes to realize that this is not disgraceful, but an undeserved privilege. A quote from Dietrich von Hildebrandt: "Our surrender to Christ implies a readiness to let him fully transform us, without setting any limit to the modification of our nature under his influence. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen." The sixth station, Veronica wipes the face of Jesus. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. Veronica boldly steps forward to offer some relief. No one stops her. The guards are too consumed with the chaos of the crowds. Jesus accepts this gesture gratefully and wipes his face on her cloth. The cloth receives the imprint of the new Adam. We too received that imprint when the waters of baptism poured down on us. In the veil of Veronica, we see, as in a mirror, our true selves and our high calling. A quote from St. Gregory of Nazianzen: "Let us visit Christ whenever we may. Let us care for him, feed him, clothe him, welcome him, honor him, not only at a meal, as some have done, or by anointing him, as Mary did, or only by lending him a tomb, like Joseph of Arimathea, or by arranging for his burial, like Nicodemus, who loved Christ half-heartedly, or by giving him gold, frankincense, and myrrh, like the Magi before all these others. The Lord of all asks for mercy, not sacrifice, and mercy is greater than myriads of fattened lambs. Let us then show him mercy in the persons of the poor and those who today are lying on the ground, so that when we come to leave this world, they may receive us into everlasting dwelling places, in Christ our Lord himself, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. The seventh station, Jesus falls a second time. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. Jesus falls again, this time from weariness. His heart is not weary, but his body can only bear so much. There is no reluctance, only fatigue. For us, however, the two go hand in hand. When we tire of our pilgrimage, we seek escape. Discouragement urges us to turn away. But the only real failure, we must remember, would be to give up completely. No matter how many times we may stumble, and no matter how long it may take to rise up again, this is the only path to freedom. A quote from Adam in the play The Jeweler's Shop by Carl Wittig. Does one not break one's entire life with every gesture? But what of it? The thing is not to go away and wander for days, months, even years. The thing is to return, and in the old place, to find oneself. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Jesus, God, it. The eighth station, Jesus meets the women of Jerusalem. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. Jesus calls out to the women, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep rather for yourselves and for your children." Sometimes our sorrow is misdirected. We grieve because of the failings of others. Pointing out the faults of others may leave us in the pleasant shade of our own complacency, but this is a false redemption. We must call to mind the task given not to others, but to ourselves. If we wish our sorrow to be productive, we will direct it toward the one place in which we can truly effect a change, our own hearts. A quote from Dietrich von Hildebrandt: "Contrition imparts to the soul of man a unique character of beauty. For it is in contrition that the new fundamental attitude of a humble and reverent charity becomes dominant and manifest, that man abandons the fortress of pride and self-sovereignty and leaves the dreamland of levity and complacency, repairing to the place where he faces God in reality. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen." The ninth station, Jesus falls the third time. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. Jesus suffers another fall. In his eyes, it is not cause for despair, but only another invitation to heroic love, to a rising above the situation. Love does not stop to measure or complain, but presses on to fulfillment. A quote from St. José María Escrivá. That voice you hear within you, what a heavy yoke you have freely taken upon yourself, is the voice of the devil, the heavy burden of your pride. Ask our Lord for humility, and you too will understand these words of Jesus, which I like to translate freely as follows. My yoke is freedom. My yoke is love. My yoke is unity. My yoke is life. My yoke is fruitfulness. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. The 10th station. Jesus is stripped of his garments. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. The climb to Calvary is complete. A moment's rest awaits. But the humiliation continues as the guards strip Jesus of his garments. He is left naked, exposed, vulnerable. But this is the very form of love, the trustful abandonment of all defenses. Unlike Adam, who, in his nakedness, hid himself in fear, the new Adam does not seek to cover himself. He has no one to fear. God is his loving Father. A quote from Jacques Philippe. The world seeks freedom in the accumulation of possessions and power. It forgets that the only people who are truly free are those who have nothing left to lose. Despoiled of everything, detached from everything, they are free from all men and all things. It can be truly said that their death is already behind them, because all their treasure is now in God and in Him alone. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Jesus.
The 11th station. Jesus is nailed to the cross. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. John the Beloved watches as the body of Christ is elevated on the cross. He remembers the words of the Master as he elevated the unleavened bread. This is my body. Do this in memory of me. The Supreme Teacher does not want us to forget that love is self-offering. And so the meal he asks us to share, again and again until the end of time, takes the very shape of his sacrifice. A quote from St. Pope John Paul II. Christ's blood reveals to man that his greatness, and therefore his vocation, consists in the sincere gift of self. Precisely because it is poured out as the gift of life, the blood of Christ is no longer a sign of death, of definitive separation from the brethren, but the instrument of a communion, which is richness of life for all. Whoever in the sacrament of the Eucharist drinks this blood and abides in Jesus is drawn into the dynamism of his love and gift of life, in order to bring to its fullness the original vocation to love which belongs to everyone. It is from the blood of Christ that all draw the strength to commit themselves to promoting life. It is precisely this blood that is the most powerful source of hope. Indeed, it is the foundation of the absolute certitude that in God's plan, life will be victorious. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. The 12th station. Jesus dies upon the cross. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. There is no one left, Jesus, mocks Gesmus the thief. A moment of profound aloneness follows, when Jesus does not experience even the Father's love. Satan now attempts to strip Christ of his relationship with the Father. But when Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Satan is furious. No one bothers to cry out to one who is not listening. The cry of Jesus, desolate as it is, makes clear that he is still communicating with his Father. A quote from St. José María Escrivá. You too, someday, may feel the loneliness of our Lord on the cross. If so, seek the support of him who died and rose again. Find yourself a shelter in the wounds in his hands, in his feet, in his side. And your willingness to start again will revive, and you will take up the journey again with greater determination and effectiveness. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Thank you.
13th station, Jesus is laid in the arms of his Blessed Mother. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. At the foot of the cross, Mary lovingly receives the lifeless body of her Son. She kisses him and then gazes out at us as she holds him. Her eyes are filled with grief, but no bitterness. "This is for you," her eyes say to us. She is the gracious hostess of the divine meal, expressing a hospitality that has cost her everything. A quote from St. Pope John Paul II. Mary is the mother of mercy, because it is to her that Jesus entrusts his church and all humanity. At the foot of the cross, when she accepts John as her son, when she asks, together with Christ, forgiveness from the Father for those who do not know what they do, Mary experiences, in perfect docility to the Spirit, the richness and the universality of God's love, which opens her heart and enables it to embrace the entire human race. Thus Mary becomes, for each and every one of us, the Mother who obtains for us divine mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. The 14th station, Jesus is laid in the tomb. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. As the body is placed in the tomb, and the stone is rolled into place, a stillness covers the earth. The stillness is deceptive, for while all seems dormant, God is performing the miracle of which every other miracle is merely a sign. With Mary, we wait in stillness and in hope. From an ancient homily on Holy Saturday, something strange is happening. There is a great silence on earth today, a great silence and stillness. The whole earth keeps silence because the King is asleep. The earth trembled and is still, because God has fallen asleep in the flesh, and has raised up all who have slept ever since the world began. God has died in the flesh, and hell trembles with fear. He has gone to search for our first parent, as for a lost sheep, greatly desiring to visit those who live in darkness and in the shadow of death. He has gone to free from sorrow the captives of Adam and Eve, he who is both God and the son of Eve. The Lord approached them, bearing the cross, the weapon that had won him the victory. I am your God, who for your sake have become your son. Out of love for you and for your descendants, I now, by my own authority, command all who are held in bondage to come forth, all who are in darkness to be enlightened, all who are sleeping to arise. I order you, O sleeper, to awake. I did not create you to be held a prisoner in hell. Rise from the dead, for I am the life of the dead. Rise up, work of my hands, you who were created in my image. Rise, let us leave this place, for you are in me, and I am in you. Together, we form only one person, and we cannot be separated. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Closing prayer adapted from a text by St. John Henry Cardinal Newman. O God, who by the precious blood of your only begotten Son sanctified the wood of the cross, we pray. May we who rejoice in that same holy cross at all times and places rejoice in your protection through the same Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Thanks for joining me for this episode of the Weight of Glory podcast. The music in this podcast is provided by Dick Lemaire from his album Via Crucis. Until next time, be well and God bless.